So this morning we're looking at the submissive church and Ephesians chapter 5. So it's Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read a couple of verses before we consider it together. Just going back a bit to where you were, I think, last week, verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what God's will is. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Just a moment's prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and as we consider it together this morning, we pray that by your Holy Spirit you would just encourage us and touch our hearts and help us to leave blessed as a result of being here together in your presence, reading your word. So we give you thanks and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus himself. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 5, if you can keep Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 to chapter 6, 4 open, that will be helpful as we look at those verses together, the submissive church. Life is not about achievements, about commitment to the Lord Jesus. It's not about activity, but attitude. God wants us to do something special and significant for him in our lives. But in order that happen, we must be submitted and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get God's word into our minds and into our hearts, and we need to believe it and act upon it, even though the world doesn't. Even though our friends may not understand it, we need to trust God and watch him work. And I've already read verse 18 of Ephesians 5. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, a negative command. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, a positive command, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to the Lord for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A gratitude command. And then submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And this is that submission command. So lots of commands here we see in Ephesians chapter 5. Paul is giving this command that we submit and surrender to the Lord Jesus. In fact, this call for submission is foundational to the church. But it's difficult, isn't it, to make that really happen, because we're living in a society which is contrary to God's word, doesn't accept God's word, and certainly we're living in a society which is under attack. Every society is made up of five main major institutions: family, education, religion, law and government, and finance and economy. And if you think of those main major institutions that make up our society, every one of them is under attack. Every one of them is sort of under attack today as never ever before. So who knows the outcome, because they've never been attacked like this before. For example, we know that marriage and family have been under massive attack and have seen changes over the last few years. According to The Independent, marriage between man and woman are at the lowest level for years, down 4%, or almost 4%. And today there are people who promote all kinds of sexual perversion and gender issues contrary to God's word. And the biblical view of marriage and family life is disappearing from our society, just to mention one of those that are under attack. And Christians who hold a biblical view of marriage, Christians who hold a biblical view of family life or gender issues, are called bigots. In fact, a 74-year-old woman from Sussex was interrogated for 80 hours by the police over her Christian views of marriage and family life. The police in Suffolk had since apologized. There's a breakdown of society, and that's not anything new, is it? You think, well, you know, it's terrible, but it's not anything new. It's happened in the ancient world. Disdain and contempt from women was particularly widespread. Commentator William Barclay sums it up this way. The Jews had a low view of woman, and the Jewish form of morning prayers, there was a sentence which the Jewish man would give thanks to God that he has not been made a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. And that's not just the Jews. In fact, that position was even worse in the Greek world. The Greeks, their whole way of life would give them not any companionship between a man and woman. It was made impossible. The Greek would expect his wife to run the home, care for the children, serve him, and he would find his pleasure and companionship elsewhere. The ancient world was certainly adulterous and perverse. And we see a breakdown in society today. And as we see that breakdown in society today, and as we see those major institutions under attack like never before, there's an urgency to proclaim the gospel, an urgency to share Christ with those who have no hope and who are going to a Christless eternity. Why, as we see the breakdown in society, do we need to proclaim the gospel? Because Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. And certainly as we understand that he is the answer, we will then see society being restored. God is calling us to rebuild biblical values that will restore and bless the church and society. So as he blesses us, it filters into the society and community in which we live. In the Welsh Revival in 1904, and I wasn't around to witness it, but Evan Roberts witnessed 100,000 people being converted to the Lord Jesus. That's exciting, isn't it? That certainly, he proclaimed the gospel, and it affected society. Society was being restored through him because pubs closed, music halls closed, and there was less drinking, less laziness, less gambling, and crime rate was down 50%. That's amazing, isn't it? All because of the gospel. All because the Christians believed the Lord Jesus. And in one Baptist church in that Welsh revival, there were 50 people waiting to be baptized one Sunday morning, 35 backsliders restored. And this 26-year-old Evan Roberts was neither a great organizer or an elegant preacher. God used him to shake the nation. Somebody available to the Lord. It's possible, I know, that you can listen to sermons online, alone, in your own home, at your own time, and in your own convenience. I do. It's good to be able to do that. It's not a bad thing, but it's not the best thing. God's pattern for his people is that we assemble in church and sit under his word. Listening, because listening to a sermon is not a me and God. It is God shaping us together. That seems to be what God's word is telling us. So listening together so that we hold one another accountable, so that we're helping each other grow, so that we're stirring each other up to godliness. We can't do that sat at home, can we? We're living together. And certainly Hebrews says in Hebrews 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and even more as we see the day approaching. John Stott, in his commentary on Ephesians called God's New Society, says, Ephesians focused on what God did through the historical work of the Lord Jesus and is doing through his Spirit today in order to build his new society in the midst of an old one. And it is God who is working in us to build this new society so that as God blesses us, we can be a blessing to the community in which he's placed us. It is God alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. God is still saving sinners. God is still on the throne. And he will remember his own, though trials oppress us and burdens distress us. He never will leave us alone. And he, that great God, is at work. And the result is that we see God at work in a new way, building a new society. And it's through a Christ and in Christ. In his letter, the Apostle Paul is outlining this new standard, isn't he? And what God is expecting from his new society. He sets out doctrinal principles and also practical duties that we have to do. So the doctrine that we receive must affect the way that we live with each other and in the community and society as a whole. And Paul moves on to this new relationship that God has established for his people. The necessary foundation for this new relationship is submitment, is submitting to the Lord Jesus, done out of reverence, it says, for Christ. Ephesians 5:21 teaches us what God expects of this restored society, which is submission. And that submission is very, very important. And as we submit, we'll see in a moment or two, the reason for God calling this submission and an example of it and also signs of submission. So let's just look at the first then, the reason for submission. Verse 18, Paul commands Christians, be filled with the Spirit. And then he gives four reasons for being filled with the Spirit. Fellowship is number one. And that's why we need to keep on encouraging each other and building each other up and spending time with each other and coming to church, because a Spirit-filled Christian will want to build that fellowship up and worship, gratitude, and submission. The reason is so that we can have a vibrant, vital, Spirit-filled church, all playing our part, all doing what God has designed for us to do. Do you remember the brother of the Lord Jesus asked in James chapter 5, 4 and verse 1, what causes fighting and quarreling among you, he asked. And did not they come from the desires that battle within you? You desire to have, so you kill. You covet, and you cannot have what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. Quarreling and fighting and conflict in the church happens when people want to get their own way. They want to push themselves to the top. So it's something like, if I can't be prime minister, I'll be the minister of the opposition. John MacArthur said, someone who is spirit-filled doesn't fight for the top, he fights for the bottom. And the theme of submission runs throughout the whole of God's word. And Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth about it, and they had lots of problems and issues, didn't they? And then 2 Peter 2 and verse 13, he said, submit yourself to the Lord, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Again, 1 Peter 5, 5. Likewise, you who are younger, submit to the elders. Clothe yourself with all humility, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And then writing to the Hebrews, the Christians, we see in chapter 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they will keep watch over your souls. And we have to give an account of our life. And the Greek word for submitting means to take place in an orderly fashion. So this submission isn't just something which is half-hearted, haphazard. It isn't something which is random. It isn't something which is just accidental. It happens. No, it's designed, and we have to work at it. And in that new society that God is working in our lives, there has to be submission and do nothing, God's word says, out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, Philippians 2:3. So the reason is quite clear that he laid out for in his word for submission and being a submissive church. Secondly, there's an example given. The supreme example of submission is, of course, the Lord Jesus. He left the glories of heaven. And he came to earth to live and suffer and die at the hands of those he'd created. And Paul puts it this way in Philippians 2 and verse 4 to 6. Not looking at your own interests, but on the interests of others. In your relationship with one another, have the mindset of Christ as Christ Jesus, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be taken for his own advantage, rather making himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So the example of submission is from our Lord Jesus himself. How will we know? Will there be any signs that we can look for? Paul in verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. He's setting down a general principle for all Christians to follow. In our relationship, there needs to be a submission to one another as well as the Lord. And Paul gives us three sets of relationships, doesn't he? There's husbands and wives, children and parents, and employees and employers. Jesus, in his very day, there was a need. Because in Jesus' day, there were poor conditions. It was norm for poor conditions. It was the accepted standard. It was culturally acceptable, that poor conditions. And Paul says, now listen, Christians, because you have to have a household which is radically different, countercultural. You have to be different from the mainstream of society. And that's what God is calling us, each one, not to blend in with the society, not to say yes to everything and go along with everything the government or those around say. If it's not in God's word, if it's contrary to God's word, we need to stick out for the truth. That's not going to be popular or easy. But Paul seems to be saying here that we have to have a household that is radically different, countercultural, making a difference and from the mainstream of society. Where on earth did Paul get this theology from? Where on earth did Paul learn this biblical truth that he's sharing with us, which is quite radical and different? Well, he got it from the Lord Jesus himself. It was Jesus who treated women with dignity, courtesy, honor in an age when they were despised and rejected. It was Jesus who said, "Let the little children come to me," in Matthew 19, verse 14, in a time when unwanted children were left on the local rubbish dump, pretty much like unborn babies killed in abortion today. It was Jesus who exalted manual labor by working as a carpenter for many, many years. It was Jesus who served as a servant, washing his disciples' feet. And in Luke 22, verse 27, "But I am among you and one who serves." We're all made in the image of the Lord Jesus, members of his family. But we must be very clear what Paul is saying. We must be very clear that Paul is calling wives and children, employees to submission. And it's not another way. When he's saying that, he's not saying in another way, you're inferior or second rate, second class. No. On the other hand, the scriptures make it very, very clear, yes, that there are distinctions between individuals, and each individual has his individual role. God has ordained different roles to maintain order in his new society and the church. And they're very clear. There's very clear roles for a wife and a husband, the children, parents, employers and employees. But each individual person has equal dignity, value and worth to God. Isn't that amazing? And that will affect the way that we treat people when they carve us up on the road, or they push in front of us in a queue. That will make a difference, because we realize that every individual is equal, has equal dignity and value and worth in the sight of God. And this is demonstrated amazingly and powerfully in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Equal persons, but a different role. It was God the Father that chose us before the foundation of the world. God the Son, the Lord Jesus, who came from heaven to die upon the cross for your salvation and mine. And it was God the Father and God the Holy Spirit that sent, sorry, it was God the Father and God the Son who sent God the Holy Spirit to apply that work of redemption. So let us submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. May God help us to do just that as we seek to make a difference in our church and in the society which is under attack, but being restored and being blessed through you and me. His reign and rule will ever sing, "All glory be to Christ." Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you and praise you for the amazing privilege we have of being part of your new society, submitted to you and submitting to each other out of reverence to Christ. Help us to see our part. We all have different roles, different functions, but we all have equal value and worth and dignity in the sight of God. Help us not to be a weak link in the chain of you building your church here in Wantage. Help us we pray, to do our bit for your glory. Amen. Let's close by singing.